Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Westside Church and to our online presentation. It's Mother's Day, and this morning I want to be a blessing to all of you who are mothers. I also want to be a blessing to all of you who are children and husbands, and I believe that God really has a word for us this morning. So let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for all the women who are mothers, who are facing the challenge of raising their children and influencing their husband is in a godly way. And this morning, Lord, we want to be an inspiration and a blessing to all of them, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, for its inspiration in our lives. And we just ask you this morning, Lord, that you would impart to us, Lord God, such wisdom today from your Word. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to have you turn to Matthew chapter 20, verses 20 through 24. And if you have a Bible, get it out now, because we don't have a PowerPoint here for this. But read along with me from Matthew chapter 20, verses 20 through 24. Then the mother of Zebedee came to Jesus, of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons, and kneeling down, asked him a favor. "What is it you want?" he asked. She said, "Grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom." "You don't know what you're asking," Jesus said to them. "Can you drink the cup I am going to drink?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or my left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those whom they have been prepared by my Father." When the ten heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. Now, there's some speculation as to how this whole incident came about. Did Mama Zebedee take it upon herself, like a good Jewish mother, to drag her boys before the Lord? Or was this something they talked about, and because the boys didn't have the guts to ask for themselves, Mama Zebedee intervened, like mothers do sometimes? Can you imagine this, though, especially if you're a grown man? Your mother takes you and your brother by the hand, and before you know what is going down, she drags you up in front of Jesus, and she asks one of those embarrassing questions that mothers are really good at. And now you're standing there sheepishly before the Lord, rolling your eyes and blaming it on Mom, saying, "Oh, my word, she didn't just ask that. I've never been so embarrassed. Oh, I'm going to die." Most boys early in life realize that Mom has an agenda for their lives. And so they often say, "Oh, Mom, oh, Mom, oh, Mom." Men and boys don't get this. They don't get where it comes from. This never-ending passion that Mom has to see their men and their children be good, to see them have character, to see them honored and respected, to know that they are loved. I have this vivid image of Valerie every morning standing on the front porch, sending the kids off to school and saying, "333, 333 always is, I love you. And God bless you, have a great day, do well today." And she would send them off. Boys, especially, often show resistance to their mom's determination to see them grow up to be a mensch. You know what a mensch is in Yiddish? A mensch is the epitome of someone who is good, someone of noble character, someone who is admired, a person who has dignity, who knows what is right and wrong, who is responsible and reliable, someone who's generous and thoughtful of others. And that's the passion that a mother has for her children. When Proverbs 31:23 says, when it's talking about the virtuous woman, when her husband sits in the gates, when he sits with the elders in the land. Now, the implication of that is that she has had something to do with who he is, with the development of his life. And, you know, that's the old saying, behind every man is a great woman. Or behind every man, there should be a great woman. I believe this passion is in all mothers. It's in your mother. It was in your mother. It was in your grandmother. And for you men who are married, it's in your wife. This passion to see you be a mensch. And where does it come from? I believe it comes from God. What did God say that Eve would be to Adam in Genesis? It said he would be a helpmeet, a helper. And this is not a servant. The word is kind of is the same word that's used for the Holy Spirit, paraclete, someone who surrounds him. And believe me, we are living in days when men and children need some serious help in their character development, especially in their character. Male pride, I think, resists this so tenaciously. And then when men are about 45 years old, something changes. Men start suddenly realizing in endearing terms that the advice of their mother was very important. And they realize this because they begin to realize that tuning her out has caused them great harm and a great deal of pain. Tuning her out has resulted in more stupid mistakes than they can count. And they're getting reactions from other women in their lives because they didn't listen to mama. And they didn't stop being vulgar and insensitive and competitive. And now they're having difficulty in their relationship with their wife. Mrs. Zebedee comes right to the point with Jesus. What about my boys? When the rest of the disciples heard about this, they got mad. And I think they got mad because they wanted to be number one and number two. And before we mock Mrs. Zebedee, we need to take another look at what this mother's motive really was. And this was not, I believe, for her ego. Mrs. Zebedee was bringing her children before the Lord. That's number one. She was kneeling, it says. She actually knelt down before the Lord. She was kneeling before the Lord and asking him to allow them to be close to him. She was praying that they would fulfill their destiny, that they would carry the heart and the burden of Christ, that they would be authentic in their faith and in their character and in their purpose. When a son or a daughter or a husband is the real deal in their relationship to God, a mother can be at peace. They're going out into the world, but I'm not afraid. They're going off to college, but I'm not afraid. They're going to work, but I'm not afraid. They're going out on a date, but I'm not afraid. They're going out with their friends, but I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid because I know they have convictions, that they're going with God. And when temptation comes, they're going to stand like Daniel and Joseph and Ruth and Esther, and they'll handle whatever comes. As husbands and wives, we should say, pray on, Mrs. Zebedee. Pray on. Keep bringing me to Jesus. Especially now when our world is such a dangerous place to live in. And the influences on the character of our children is so negative, is so demonic. This is a time when Mrs. Zebedee is a real example here. She was not bashful about asking the Lord to allow her children to be close to him. What is it you want? Jesus said to Mrs. Zebedee. She wanted more than the salvation of her children. She wanted more than church attendance. She wanted them to be close to Jesus. She wanted them to be productive and involved in the work of the Lord. She wanted them to be leaders and trainers, helping and discipling others. She had big expectations. She didn't just pray that they would help set up chairs or be around once in a while. She wanted them to sit at the right hand and the left hand of Jesus. And you know something? Jesus did not say no. He didn't say no to her request. We might consider Mrs. Zebedee annoying and presumptuous, but I say we should admire her for her boldness and her heart for her children. The world can use more Mrs. Zebedees. She didn't want to settle for mediocrity. She wanted to ask God to bring them to their full potential in Christ. In the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel, there's a woman named Hannah. For years, Hannah had been childless and had asked God to give her a child. And finally, she made a vow. that if he gave her a son, she would dedicate him to the Lord. And so here's how it reads in 1 Samuel chapter 1. Verse 11 says, I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life. In verse 22, Samuel chapter 1, after the boy is weaned, I will take him to the temple, present him before the Lord, and he will live there always. In verse 28, so now I will give him to the Lord for his whole life, and he will be given over to the Lord, and she worshiped the Lord there. Something interesting is recorded in the second chapter of 1 Samuel. It says this, but Samuel was ministering before the Lord as a boy wearing a linen ephod. Each year, his mother made him a little robe and took it to him when she went up with her husband to offer the annual sacrifice. Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife, saying, may the Lord give you children by this woman to take the place of the one and she prayed for and gave to the Lord. Then they would go home. And the Lord was gracious to Hannah. She gave birth to 3 sons and 2 daughters. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord. Now here's my question. Why would the scripture record such a minute detail as a linen ephod? Each year his mother made him a little robe and she took it to him. I believe this is because this little robe was more than a little robe. I bet you Hannah fashioned this little robe with meticulous care, and she worked on it here and there all year long. Those of you who are knitters or embroiderers, you know what I'm talking about. It takes a long time to weave a little robe. But every year, with meticulous care, Hannah would weave this robe, and then they would make their annual pilgrimage to visit their son. And this was no ordinary sweater from TJ Maxx. This annual robe ritual served to keep Samuel in Hannah's mind 24/7, all the time. I'll bet you these robes also were a conversation piece in the temple. People would see that and they'd say, wow, where did you get that robe? And Samuel would proudly answer, my mom. She's the one who prayed for me to be born. She's the one who dedicated my life to the Lord. She's the one who prays for me every day. She's the one who's given her life for my life. What a great mom. With every stitch, with every weave, Hannah held Samuel in her heart and was behind him all the time in prayer. Bring it on, Mrs. Zebedee. Be grateful, all you men and boys and girls. Be thankful that she never overlooks the gray areas of your character flaws. It may look like nagging, but she's your God-given helper. Historian John Merrill wrote this about General George Patton. He says, as a young awkward boy grew up in Southern California, plagued by a learning disability that in later years would be called dyslexia. But with his mother's encouragement and astonishment, he became a strong and capable leader. Years later, he was commanding thousands of Americans in war. When General George S. Patton, old blood and guts, found himself in North Africa grappling with the German army, his thoughts on the battlefield were often on his mother. It was his mother, he often told his colleagues, who ingrained in him the leadership qualities that he was to become famous for. His only regret that he had never really expressed sufficiently his appreciation for her. So after she died, he wrote this letter. Darling Mama, he began in a letter he wrote after her death, in words that pained him, you are still very near. I never showed you in life the love I really felt, nor the admiration for your courage. You were the constant companion who read to me what I could not read. The person who first taught this cavalryman to ride. The friend of my youth who recognized the first beginnings of greatness in a small boy, and the person who prepared me for a world of men was a woman, Mrs. George Patton Sr., my mother. I want to encourage all of you who are moms. This morning, you're Mrs. Zebedee. I want to encourage you not to give up when the resistance starts from your husband, from your kids. I know that you would prefer a world without that resistance, but I want to encourage you this morning. When they won't eat your food, when they push you away and ask you to leave them alone, when they refuse your advice and even refuse your love, when they accuse you of meddling, I know they're rolling your eyes at you and it appears that they're not listening, but they hear. They hear. It's an amazing thing, even within the dynamic between me and my wife. So many times she's on the subject of my character, and which has been a major thing. You know, my character is a big issue with my wife. And I always want to say, hey, stop meddling. And I pretend like I don't hear, and then later on she hears me preaching a sermon, and she knows, oh, he heard that after all. And that's the way it works. More importantly, someone is bigger than them is listening. He has bigger muscles than they do. He has already outsmarted them. This is God, who's already fixed a fix to fix them. And I want to encourage you this morning, moms, trust in God. Continue to be you. This unstoppable inner drive that you have is a gift from God. Don't allow the devil to make you stop using it. I know at times you need to get smarter. At times you need to change your method of delivery. But God has wired you this way. Your concern that your children would be a minch, be minches in life, that their character would be, that they would be good people, having a good influence on the world. That's a gift from God. Don't hide it. Don't cover it up. Don't retreat. Hang in there. God has wired you this way, and you are his gift to them. Be like Jesus. Most of us have seen Fiddler on the Roof. Fiddler on the Roof, you'll remember that very touching scene when the parents stood up before their children around the table on the Sabbath, and they recited this prayer over their children. This morning, I'm going to read this, and I want you moms to actually see yourself standing before your children, reciting this prayer to them. And you can look it up online, and you can use it as a prayer in your own life, but let me read it to you. May the Lord protect and defend you. May he always shield you from harm. I'm sorry. May he always shield you from shame. May you come to be a shining name. May you be like Ruth and like Esther. May you be deserving of praise. Strengthen them, O Lord, and keep them from the stranger's ways. May God bless you and grant you long lives. May the Lord fulfill our Sabbath prayer for you. May God make you good husbands and wives, and may he send you spouses who will care for you. May the Lord protect and defend you. May the Lord preserve you from pain. Favor them, O Lord, with happiness and peace. O hear our Sabbath prayer. Amen. One more thing. I want to bless all of you who are mothers this morning. Proverbs chapter 31, verses 28 and 29. It says, her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. And he says, many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Father, this morning, we send out your blessing to all the mothers who are hearing this message this morning. Father, we ask you, Lord, to just fill their sails with a new wind. We pray, Father God, that you would infuse them with encouragement. Lord, I know that many mothers are discouraged and they have been resisted by the man they married, by the children they have. And Father, I ask you in the name of Jesus, Lord, as they take in these words from your scripture, Father, that they would be encouraged, Lord, to just rise up in their spirit and know, Lord, their role and function is so vital in the lives of their children and husbands, Lord. I pray that you give them great wisdom, Lord, in these days, and a great spirit of encouragement, Lord, that a new joy would bubble up inside them from the Holy Spirit. So, Father, we ask your blessing today on all the mothers in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for them, Lord. They are your gift to all of us. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.